much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, well, let's find the old gang, get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth About to Be Recycled. Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I would not want to be his nutsack.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Promoting sin.
Roll another one.
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent
just
it.
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop
and
it right
I need
now.
Another
it's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Nope.com.
Roll another one.
15, 12, 1. No.
Just like the other one.
Thank God that happened.
This one seems to be about ten. I don't have another cent.
Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
But don't bogart that joint.
Tell me you're not serious.
Just pass it around.
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'll give it a try, but it sounds boring.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
If I had a vagina, there would never be a time that I didn't have something hidden inside of it.
Our feature presentation.
It's a good point.
Right?
It's a good point. Because
like
you can't. Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Friday morning.
Did you go last night, Kevin?
I did not.
Okay. Seemed like all of K-Rock was there last night. It was Kat and Stryker and Nicole. Everybody was all tweeting pictures of Stevie Nicks and Rick Springfield and Dave Grohl and John Fogerty. It seemed like just the most fun thing ever.
I was looking forward to it and the movie as well, but there's some sickness in my house. People are dying, so I have to,
God.
I have to try and take care of people.
Aww.
And remain healthy as a horse. Thank you.
You are not
very
sick
impressive.
Yet.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. Do you want Kevin taken care of you, Lisa? Is that,
not
is that
really,
the choice you
no,
make?
That I call a nurse.
I think you would be
somebody.
Surprised.
Really?
Call it a guy from the street or something, I would imagine. Well, I'm
well
very
stay outside,
yet.
But I mean, other than that.
Well, that's too bad. I'm sure we'll be hearing much more about it here on K-Rock in the days to come. But last night was the big Dave Grohl night in Hollywood with the movie and then the concert. And everything sounds like it went real well, and everybody had a great time. So,
it's Dave Grohl. How do you have a bad time with Dave
How do you have
You're
a bad
so
time?
So right.
Greatest guy in the world. Here's the story that everybody was talking about yesterday. I'm sure you guys saw it, but it does have a happy ending. You saw the story of the gay dog in Tennessee? You caught up with that?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yep.
This guy in Tennessee, Lisa, saw his dog mounting another dog. His dog is a male. He's a American Bulldog Pit Bull mix. Super cute dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's the top, let's be honest, if that's the,
well,
that's the relationship.
Probably so. So he saw his dog mounting, or as I learned yesterday, as it is officially called in dog circles, hunching.
Oh.
Hunching.
Well, that's
it's
a much
hunching.
Nicer way to say it.
Yeah, than mounting. So anyway, so you know how dogs get, and they, you know, they play, and sometimes, and most of us, most novices, we just assume that it's some sort of a, you're doing it for control, or you're doing it to play. We don't usually even look at it as sexual when it's a same-sex dog, one doing to the other, right?
Right.
Well, this owner did not interpret it that way. He's like, I ain't having no gay dog in my house. So he, what did he do? Took him immediately to the animal shelter, you know, to a high kill shelter, by the way. The kind of shelter where you go in 24 hours if you're not adopted, you're put down.
Really? Wow. That exists?
Yes. Oh, yeah, there are a lot of those. This is the Jackson Rabies Control Shelter is what it's called.
Oh, well, if they have rabies or something, that's weird. All right, go
this
ahead.
This is their policy for all dogs. All this is in Jackson, Tennessee. And somehow the word got out. Somehow somebody, you know, got the word to the outside that there was a gay dog in there. And a Facebook campaign was started up. Somebody posted to Facebook, this guy was signed over to the Rabies Control Center, not because he's mean or he tears things up, but because his owner says he's gay. He hunched another male dog, so his owner threw him away because he refused to have a gay dog. Don't let this gorgeous dog die because his owner is ignorant of normal dog behavior. He's in kennel 10L. He will be put down tomorrow because there is no room at the inn. Well, when they showed up to work the control center the next day, there was a line of people out in front of the place waiting to adopt this dog.
Really? Aww. Awesome.
Which is awesome. Dog completely healthy, by the way. And it's funny, you made the reference to it being the top dog.
Yeah.
The dog's name is Elton. Now,
Elton.
It's unclear from this story whether the person who adopted the dog named it Elton or the dog was already named Elton. But the dog's name is Elton. He had been scheduled to be euthanized at 1 o'clock yesterday.
Wow. He's
in there for 24 hours. The man who adopted him already has four dogs and says he's pretty friendly so far. He's pretty scared of everything, which is understandable, but he loved the car ride. So
one of his dogs is gay so that he has a partner.
Maybe so. Yeah. But can you imagine the mindset of that person?
No, what an idiot.
My dog is gay. A, the fact that you would think your dog is gay because of that behavior, and B, that you would then not want your dog anymore and give it away.
I imagine, like most of these stories, that guy was looking for a reason to get rid of his dog. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine.
Maybe.
But I can't imagine that he just said, wow, gay, take him away.
Well, any dog he gets.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
he should
be allowed to have another dog.
Agreed.
Because any dog will do that.
Yeah. And by the way, dogs hump couches and they hump vacuum cleaners. I mean.
So do I. Do toys. I get thrown away?
No, you don't.
I hunch them, by the way.
Hunch. I'm sorry, yes. Hunching, not mounting or humping, right. So happy ending for Elton the gay dog.
I'm glad to hear it.
Never thought I'd say that sentence.
Nope. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we? Yeah, what's up? Cousin Sal will be on the phone from New Orleans. He's going to tell us about how to make money betting on the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Fantastic. Cousin Sal sounds like he's having a great time in New Orleans right now, too. He did a podcast last night with Bill Simmons and Tracy Morgan.
Oh, fantastic.
How fun does that sound?
Betting on the Super Bowl is crazy, too. There's an article on Grantland.com if you want to go there and check it out with all the prop bets. And they do cross sports. You can bet, you know, Steve Nash assists versus, you know, the first run in the Super Bowl, stuff like that. It's just crazy. But you can bet basically on the coin flip and everything else. But LaQuisha will be on the program today.
My favorite bet in that whole article, by the way, is, and the odds are astronomical because it's never happened, is that that one team will only score 4 points. Now, who would bet that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Somebody who just has all the money in the world, and what the hell do they have to lose? You know, you put down such a tiny amount to win so big if it would ever happen.
Four points.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Rob Corddry will be in the studio today.
Ah, he's so funny.
Warm Bodies.
Always great. New movie Warm Bodies coming out. He plays a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
We have the worst or best Super Bowl bet you ever made. 7 o'clock hour. We're going to take your calls on, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but there was a couple. And the woman had one team and the husband had another team. And she offered the back door if things went his way and not hers. And they did. If I recall correctly.
She had to pay?
She had to open the back door, yes.
So,
repeatedly.
You say worst Super Bowl bets, but this could also be best Super
Bowl
bets.
Right, best or worst.
Depending on which side of the winning you're on.
For her, it was worst. For him, it was best.
Right. Love it.
And then he took her to a dog pound. gave her up. Movie Beat with Ralph Garman, talking about what movies are in the theaters today. We're going to talk to Dan Bova from Maxim, who is in New Orleans, about what's going on there, along with his party. And we have James Purfoy.
You'll get it, one of those.
No idea how to say his last name, but he plays Joe Carroll, the serial killer on The Following, which is a great show, and he is a great character.
Yeah.
So he's in jail, right? He can't attack us or anything like that. We're safe from him just having him on the phone, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's a fictional show.
And is it a collect call? Are we paying for this because he's calling us from prison? Or
I think
what?
It's really – that's just the fictional part of the – he's just
and
an
And will
actor.
The warden be on the line listening to the interview to make sure that we're not passing information on how to escape? Or I'm nervous about this.
That's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning program. Good morning, Ralph. What's on?
Good morning.
What? You already tired?
Yeah.
No.
Considering I was watching – Foo Fighters back up Rick Springfield last night.
Oh, how was it?
You were there too?
Yeah, of course I was there. It was the musical event of a lifetime.
Wow.
I mean, it was...
But it included Rick Springfield.
Yes. That's what made it so awesome was it was this amazing amalgam of musical styles and performers and eras. And it was a little magical by the fact that everybody was sort of represented, and everybody was getting along and jamming together, and it was crazy.
Well, as you can't believe you're seeing this.
Yeah, to watch Taylor and Dave and Pat Smear back up Rick Springfield for his hits was fantastic, and they were having the time of their lives. And I'll tell you, the audience went nuts. And to see Lee Ving from Fear up there just crushing it.
Oh, really?
And then Wilk and Goss from Rage and Elaine Johannes from Queens of the Stone Age, and just it was a wild mix of amazingly talented entertainers having the time of their lives up there, and Dave Grohl just being the master showman and ringleader of the circus. You know, it was a blast.
Fantastic.
On top of which, the film is brilliant. The documentary Sound City is brilliant. It's fascinating. My wife, we were driving down there, and she said, you know, I'm not really that much of a music fan, not that to that depth, and it's going to talk about recording and stuff. And she goes, I'm probably going to be bored, but, you know, we'll see it. She went out raving about this film.
No kidding.
You don't have to be, you know, an audio head to appreciate the magic that happened out of this studio in Van Nuys. And it was, it's a remarkable story. And Dave directed the film brilliantly. It's really well done.
Is there anywhere else to see it for the rest of us? Or
I believe it comes out this weekend.
Oh, it does.
It does.
In limited release.
Limited release in theaters, but you can buy it on iTunes, Kevin.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
But here's the thing. I would recommend, if you can, find it in a theater that has a really good sound system.
Loud.
We saw it. Not loud. No,
loud.
You need a high-quality sound system.
It's loud.
It doesn't matter if it's loud.
It has to be loud because it's music. It has to be loud.
It doesn't. We were at the Cinerama Dome watching last night, which has a brilliant sound system. And because so much of the film talks about the quality of the sound that was produced by Sound City and that Neve mixing board specifically that they use there, it really helps you get a sense of what they're talking about. If you're in a theater with surround sound, you can really get a high quality. So, you know, this isn't a movie I think you would enjoy as much if you watched it on your iPad or something. You'd probably enjoy it more if you had a really good sound system. But an amazing night last night at the Palladium.
Cool.
It was really a good time. But, yeah, I didn't leave until midnight.
Oh, good.
I wish I could have stayed. There was John Fogerty and Stevie Nicks still yet to go. And I looked at my wife and I was like, I just can't do it. There's no way I can stay. I mean, I think Stevie was going on close to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I was like, there's just no way I'll get there. So,
were you even more impressed when Dave Grohl came in a couple weeks ago and told us that he had learned 50 songs in the previous week? The fact that he's up there backing up. I mean, you know, like Stevie Nicks was just Dave Grohl on stage playing acoustic guitar while she sang Landslide, for instance. I mean, he had to know that song pretty well.
Yeah, the musicianship was remarkable. They had Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick with Corey Taylor singing lead to the Cheap Trick songs.
Wow.
With the rest of the guys backing them up. It was, I mean, everybody was so in sync.
And Sync was there?
What?
You're both getting played off. Keyboard Cat was on stage last night playing with Dave Grohl and everyone else.
Do you know if that show was filmed, Ralph? Is that something that we
I don't know, but I was thinking as I was watching, I said, somebody's got to be.
I would think so.
Because this needs to be a DVD. It was a remarkable collection of musicians last night. And really one of those once-in-a-lifetime things you get to see. And you say, well, this is something that will never happen again. It was the most fun sort of concert festival situation I've been in a long, long time.
It sounds great.
Good times, and again, I highly recommend the film. If you can find Sound City in a theater near you, go see it. And if you can't, then pick up the DVD. But it's a fascinating story, really well told. So, there's my review of that. We'll talk more about it during the movie beat. But right now, let's talk about other showbiz news. This is really sad. Porn legend Ron Jeremy is on a respirator as we speak.
Oh.
He is heavily sedated and intubated right now at Cedars-Sinai following his two heart surgeries after they discovered an aneurysm. Doctors apparently are waiting to see what develops. They anticipate it'll be at least 2 or 3 days before they take him off the respirator and see how he does breathing on his own. So we're still in a very critical time for Ron Jeremy, and we wish him the best. Katy Perry
sees dead people.
What?
She sees dead people.
I'm sorry, how?
She was shooting a commercial in a Beverly Hills home when she came screaming out of the master suite. She claimed she saw a guy in a mirror. She looked in the mirror and saw a guy with a mustache who appeared to be screaming in agony. Everyone rushed into the bedroom. They looked in the mirror. It's like, we don't see anything, Katy. But she swore that he existed.
Awesome.
And said she saw a ghost in the Beverly Hills home.
Standing by that story?
She is. She said
awesome.
She was a ghost. I think it was just John Mayer trying to approach her from the rear.
You know, trying to hunch her.
He's trying to hunch her. Yeah. More romance news. Tadoff Switler, evil succubus, spawn of Satan, is suffering, according to friends. Oh, this makes me so happy.
All right.
Friends are telling PerezHilton.com and other sources that ever since she broke up with Harry Styles of One Direction, she has been, this is their quotes, not mine, crying nonstop, simply can't snap out of it, and is a, quote-unquote, complete mess. Make things worse, Taylor Swift says she feels like everyone in Hollywood is laughing at her after Tina Fey joked about her love life at the Golden Globes. And she says her heart is breaking. This is awesome! Awesome! Someone give her a lot of sharp instruments and a bottle of pills. Quickly. Stat. And give her a noose and whatever it takes. Just subtle suggestions. A piano.
Falling on her head?
Falling on her head, yeah.
Okay.
And Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are apparently over.
I got dibs.
Yeah, you have dibs.
Doesn't work that way?
You can call dibs all you want. I don't think Amber's going to be interested in you. Apparently the two couldn't work out their differences. Johnny did not want to see other women. However, Amber wanted to see other women. So
okay.
They got a problem there. They got to work that out.
She's a goer.
She's a good time.
She is.
She's not hard on the eyes either.
No.
I love her. She's the best woman
ever. She's the most beautiful. She's the star of my novel. She's
forever.
The princess of Eternia, and I will be her magical unicorn.
Whatever happened to Signholder Nick?
I don't know. We never got that screenplay from him, did we? That 600-page screenplay he was working on?
Look, we had Hollywood script readers lined up to read it. We were going to do him a favor and pass it along and get it in front of the important eyes in Hollywood, but he dropped the ball.
We're going to get some coverage, but he's not interested.
That's his actual laugh, by the way.
That is. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hard to believe, but.
Singer Don Everly of the legendary Everly Brothers is 76 years old today. Garrett Morris from Saturday Night Live fame. You know, they always have a black guy on Saturday Night Live. He was the first black guy from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And he is, of course, now a regular on Two Broke Girls.
I wouldn't know. 76 years old today. Billy Mummy! Actor, writer, producer, musician, but most importantly, Will Robinson from Lost in Space.
Oh, William.
He's 59 years old today. Sherilyn Fenn of Twin Peaks is 48 years old. Pauly Shore, the Wicked. Wow. He's 45 years old. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 44. Michael C. Hall, you know him as Dexter, 42 years old. Ralphie May, the comedian, is 41. Rapper Big Boy of Outkast is 38 years old. Heather Morris of Glee, she's Britney on that show, 26 years old. And we're just talking about him. Harry Styles of One Direction turns 19 years old today. Good work, Harry.
Nice
Good
job.
Good work.
I'm a One Direction fan for the day.
Me too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number 4 is still Mumford & Sons in Amsterdam, which is like in Europe and some junk. We're going to, at 9:10 this morning, give you Mumford's latest album called Babel, and you'll be qualified to get on the standby boarding list for that drawing, which I think we do Monday to send someone to Amsterdam to see the band. That's at 9:10 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, then at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at K-Rock.com.
Amsterdam's awesome because even the hotels just smell just as strong as hell like weed. You could go there and not smoke and get high in every place you go.
Wow.
You don't have to buy your own. That's for sure.
You
get a contact high just from being in the city.
That's correct.
I don't think I'll ever forget the place that you and Jimmy went to where you ended up sitting there for like 7 hours and thought it was 15 minutes.
It was 5 p.m. and we got a bunch of stuff and started passing it around. And then it was midnight and we went, what?
How did this happen?
I was at midnight. We just sat down. Good times. Speaking of good times, let's talk to Dan Bova, who is the editor of Maxim Magazine and who is in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Nice. Dan. How are you, buddy?
What's up? Oh, I'm fantastic.
You live?
Listen to you. This is awesome.
Bourbon Street will have its way with the young man.
Yeah.
If you let it.
We were talking to the King of Mexico about talking to you here at this time of the day, and he said, oh, no, don't worry, it's the time change. And I said, dude, in New Orleans, 8 a.m. is really, really, time difference, yeah, is really early.
This place is like a giant casino. Like, you lose track of all time and space.
Yeah.
There is no time. but it's been interesting time so far here in lovely New Orleans.
How long have you been there?
I've been here for 2 days so far, and that in human years is like 4 years.
That's right.
Now, Dan, every year it seems like the party scene around any Super Bowl just gets ramped up, gets bigger and bigger, and there are a few major players, and I gotta think that Maxim is at the top of the list in terms of the party that everybody in town wants to go to, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maxim planted its flag in the Super Bowl party, you know, years and years and years ago. And it's taken on these, like, mythic proportions right now. I mean, the day after a Maxim party ends, I'll get emails like, can I come next year? Can you get my friends in? Can you get this? Like, I can't believe how many relatives and friends I have around Super Bowl time. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I've heard you say that you feel like Willy Wonka sometimes with that golden ticket just walking around.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I've been to four or five of those Maxim parties at Super Bowl weekend, and basically you plan around it. You plan everything else, and then that's the coup de grace.
That's your event.
Yeah, people are scrambling for these tickets. They want to know who's going to be there, who's going to, and then it's like, oh, yeah, there's a game being played this weekend too, right?
Right.
You know, it's like this total afterthought, but this year's going to be pretty ridiculous.
Now, there comes a tipping point at some, well, of course, you got the reputation of the Maxim party already. You got that going for you. But all you need is a couple of rumors of who's going to be there, and then everybody wants to get close to, you know, whatever the hot celebrity is.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and this year we got a bunch of people confirmed who are going to come. 50 Cent, Olivia Munn. I just got a call from Guy Fieri last night. He's in town, and last year he poured half a bottle of Tabasco sauce down my throat. So I'm looking forward to his arrival. That'd now, be a good one.
for folks like me who are always on the outside of these parties, wondering what the celebrities are doing. What's the entertainment like inside a Maxim party, a Super Bowl weekend?
It is such an entertainment overload. It's just everywhere you look, something exciting and new is happening before your eyes. There's going to be music there. There's drinks all over the place. There's, you know, one year someone crashed a motorcycle on the on our red carpet. So it's kind of like you just don't know what's going to happen, but just keep your head up because something is going to happen.
Part of the problem, especially in a city like New Orleans, is that people have been served by the time your party starts. What time is your party? Saturday night at like 10 or 11?
Yeah, Saturday night starts at 11.
So by that time, most of your guests are going to have already had some drinks.
I don't know. I think people, they'll just be having some water and some Gatorade before they get there, you know.
Yeah, I know that's the plan.
tell us about, again, this is Dan Bova, editor-in-chief of Maxim Magazine, talking about the hottest party in New Orleans for Super Bowl weekend. Tell us about the Greek gods and goddesses theme. What's that all about?
Yeah, so every year there's a theme of we have just this incredible amount of beautiful women, and this year it's gods and goddesses. They're going to be dressed up in almost like Spartan gear,
right?
Togas and stuff. We're having a toga party.
All right, okay.
I'm wearing a toga right now, just to prepare myself.
That's an adult diaper, Dan.
Right.
Very different.
Yes. So they're going to be walking around and that stuff, serving drinks and whatnot. It's I sound like I swallowed a bucket of gravel this morning.
Yeah, well,
it kind of feels like too.
That's what 2 days in New Orleans will do to you.
Yeah.
I saw one article, and I'm sure that this doesn't happen very often, but I saw one article talking about the how popular these parties have gotten, the VIPs and the sponsorships, and how expensive. I mean, some of these parties cost $1 million to throw that some of these companies do. But there really are people now who fly into the Super Bowl city, Dan, and fly out before the game. They're not even there for the game. They just come for the parties.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. There's fans from all teams. You see all these people walking around in Steelers jerseys last night. They're like, you guys know they're not in the game, right?
Yep.
People just, this is, especially this year, this town is just lit up. There's just, people are just going nuts. New Orleans is equipped for this kind of insanity. Last year was in Indianapolis, and that place, they had to send in a SWAT team to deal with the crowds.
That's a quiet little city. This is not like...
They were just like, what? Why is this happening? there's a lot of people here who just, are here to have a good time, and they are having a good time, let me tell
you. Sure. Well, we're going to let you go back to sleep and get that last 6 hours that you need, Dan, before you can get up and start your day.
I'm going to go to the gym right now and work
out.
Sure. Liar.
Sure you are.
You are a liar, sir.
So we won't see you this weekend, but we will look forward to seeing you at Comic-Con. You're going to have a Maxim party at Comic-Con this year again, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Put us on the list. Whatever long list you have on that phone of yours.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. Love it.
Thanks, man. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you coming on, Dan.
Thank you.
Stay alive.
Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Another one of those British Shakespeare-type actors coming over and taking American jobs. James Purefoy joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He plays the serial killer on The Following. That's on the way. Right now, Rob's got the movie beat because it's Friday.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Great weekend for movies. A little something for everybody. If you go to the Cineplexes this weekend, I guarantee you'll find something that interests you. Starting with something that interests me, because it's almost every guy I do an impression of in one movie. It's called Stand Up Guys. Al Pacino, Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken star in this film about a group of aging gangsters trying to get the old gang back together again once Pacino's character is released from prison for one last hurrah, one last party weekend, before one of the guys has to take his last assignment, which is to kill his friend. Walken gets the nod. He's got to kill Pacino as he comes out of the prison.
Awesome.
It looks fun. It looks like these guys playing off of characters we've seen them play for years, having a good time. You got Pacino, Alan Arkin, Christopher Walken, like in a road trip. It's like it's like Hangover with Geritol. It just looks awesome. Oh, we gotta go have a good time. I don't know. I'm driving, but I have to kill you. No. Guys, don't. Don't do that to each other. No. Here's a scene where Pacino, Walken, and Alan Arkin are talking about what they want to do for the rest of their lives.
So what do you want to do now you're out, bro?
I always wanted to finish high school. Learn more about the human condition. How about you, Hirsch? Is there anything in this life that you haven't done that you would like to have a chance to do?
Two girls at the same time.
That's very doable, no, Doc?
Yeah, done and done.
Done and done.
Nice.
Bullet to the Head opens up this weekend, a new Stallone film. Now, ordinarily, a Stallone film would scare me because Stallone is not exactly the quality master. But it's directed by Walter Hill, one of my favorite action directors. This guy does great work. Yeah, so this looks like it could be fun. Jason Momoa is also in the film. Christian Slater. And a young lady by the name of Sarah Shahi.
Oh.
All right. Who we know and love, who will be in talking about this film on Monday, actually. It is your basic Stallone actioner. This is, he's a New Orleans hitman who has to team up with a detective from Washington, D.C. to form an unlikely team to bring down a common enemy after they both lose a partner. Here's some clips from the trailer of A Bullet to the Head.
Are you okay?
My partner was clipped.
You gave me your word. You're getting out of that business.
This is the last time. I'll never do this again.
You don't just kill a guy like that.
I just did. It looks like I have something you want.
Dad?
I swear to you, when I get this guy, it's going to be bad.
Hey, you mind if we listen to something from this century?
It's going to sound like a broken record.
They don't even make records anymore.
Great.
See, he's an old hitman, so he has to deal with all that stuff.
Does it sound to anybody else like he's doing an impression of Sylvester Stallone?
I just did. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you're doing an impression. I don't know.
Now, is this the same movie as Last Stand? Because it sounds like it has a lot of the same kinds of jokes.
It does. It's about guys who do action films getting old, basically. That's two in a row now. Stand-up guys about aging gangsters. This is about an aging hitman. Warm Bodies isn't about old people. It's about young people. Sure, some of them are zombies, but still.
This looks great.
Yeah.
It's Nicholas like a creative new take.
Nicholas Holt stars as a zombie. The zombie apocalypse has spread all over the world, and he saves a young, live, pretty girl named Teresa Palmer, who plays Julie in the film. He saves her from an attack, and the two form a relationship that starts to transform the lifeless zombie into a warm-feeling human again. Looks like an interesting take, as Kevin just said, on the zombie film. Here is R, that's his character's name, the zombie, desperately telling us in voiceover how he wants to be able to reconnect with people.
Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I shouldn't be so hard on myself. I mean, we're all dead. This girl's dead. That guy's dead. That guy in the corner is definitely dead. Oh, man. They call these guys bonies. They don't bother us much, but they lead anything with a heartbeat. I mean, I will too, but at least I'm conflicted about it.
And lastly, Sound City, the documentary you may have heard me talk about just a few minutes ago. In limited release, you can check out Sound City this weekend, directed by Dave Grohl. It's a story of the fabled recording studio in Van Nuys, California, that was the home to so many amazing albums, and you don't even realize until you watch the documentary and they start to just flash them in front of your eyes on the screen. I mean, everything from Barry Manilow to Nevermind was recorded there. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, the Cheap Trick albums, Rick Springfield, Pat Benatar, Queens of the Stone Age, Rage Against the Machine. It's just an endless list of amazing talent that walk through those doors, and the stories that they tell and the way they tell you the history of the studio. It's a fascinating documentary. Not even if you're a music fan, of course you'll love it, but just as a layperson, to watch how one business, one group of people could have so much influence on so many other lives. It's kind of amazing. Just a real quick, I'll give you an example. Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac was looking for a cheap place to record, and Sound City was known for being a good, cheap studio. So he went in there and he said, "Can I hear some of the work you've done there?" And there had been a young duo that had just recorded some demos there, and they used that music to show Mick Fleetwood what the studio sounded like.
Right.
The young duo was a guy named Lindsey Buckingham and his girlfriend Stevie Nicks.
That's how they met?
They had recorded there. They played him those tracks to let him know what the room sounded like when it was recorded. And Mick said, "Yeah, okay, we'll take the place." He loses his guitarist the next week, and he says, "Hey, wait a minute, who was that guy who played on those demos? He was pretty good." That's how the lineup for Fleetwood Mac that ended up doing Rumors got together. It was just because he had walked through that door. And there's story after story after story like that about how people's lives were changed.
And it's a dump, right? I mean,
it is a frat house. Frat boys would be ashamed to go in there. I mean, it's just insane. And sadly, it is no longer. But it's a great story. And Dave Grohl, I'll tell you something. Guy's got a future as a director because it's a brilliantly told story in documentary form. Here's some clips from the trailer of Sound City.
But walking down the hallway and seeing all of those platinum records on the wall, that's what I'm talking about.
Tom Petty.
Fleetwood Mac.
Neil Young, man.
Cheap Trick.
Chili Peppers.
Pat Benatar.
Guns N' Roses.
Nine Inch Nails.
Before I Know.
Rap.
Johnny Cash.
Metallica.
Dude, how many music albums have been made there?
In this age of technology, where you can manipulate anything, how do we retain that human element?
Let's rock. Let's play. Let's record.
Be true to yourself and make music that you love.
How do we keep music to sound like people?
And then at the end, they show you Dave taking the soundboard out of Sound City, putting it in his home studio, and then inviting all of his friends and guests and people who had recorded there for it to create new music, which is now the soundtrack of the movie. It's a great project, and, you know, how do you not love anything Dave Grohl's connected
to?
No
kidding.
Right? But I highly recommend it. If you can seek it out this weekend and find it in a theater, do so. If not, you can pick it up on DVD. I think you can go to soundcitymovie.com, I believe, is the website. But it's my pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Got to talk to Cousin Sal, of course, Jimmy's real-life cousin. He's in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. He'll tell you some of the bets that you can make to make money this weekend. Even if you don't care about football, you can bet on things like how long the national anthem is, whether Jay-Z will jump out on stage during the halftime show. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy. What color Gatorade they're going to throw on the winning coach, Kevin, is something you can make money on.
Wow.
So we got that on the way. Plus, we'll tell you about TLC's Strange Addiction Season 3, which looks awesome. Remember all those years, Kevin, when you were in the Royal Shakespeare Company?
Yeah. Yeah, those are good times.
And then you quit because it just was, if I recall, it just wasn't challenging enough for you. The work was too easy for you.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like I was back in kindergarten again.
Sure. Did you ever run into James Purefoy when you were all those times you were
treading
the boards?
No, he was never in my league.
Oh, he wasn't? Well, he's showing you because now he's on a big-time TV show called The Following. It's on Monday nights at 9 on Fox. It also reruns Friday nights at 9, which is awesome. He plays Joe Carroll, and he is a bad, bad man. Mr. Purefoy, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, my lieges.
Don't call us that. You're a mean man.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
a little look.
A bad guy, isn't he?
Yep.
I've only seen what is it aired now? Twice? Three times now?
It's been on twice.
Twice, yeah. And yet I'm already, this is how effective your portrayal of the serial killer is. I'm already terrified to talk to you. I'm nervous you're going to come through the phone and get me.
Really, not today. Maybe tomorrow morning around about the same time.
Oh, good. Good. Then we have that to look forward to. Tell us a little bit about your character, Joe Carroll, and how you researched him.
Well, I spend about, I don't know, I guess 3 weeks, a month in Los Angeles looking at serial killers, looking at documentaries and interviews and listening to audio files, of which there are a surprising amount on the internet. I read academic studies. I looked at cults and cult leaders, and just to round off the homework, I read every single word of Edgar Allan Poe.
Don't you want to take your life after that kind of? I mean, isn't it a bummer?
It's quite bleak, but you know, if you decide to play a character like this, then you really deserve. The audience need to know that you've looked into it and that that you're playing it to the best of your ability. So. You know, the research just comes like it does with every part that you play. You know, you need to do it.
I'll tell you, it's really, here's what I love about the way you play this character. You're not scared. You're not really angry. You don't have any emotion. You don't care if you get caught. Like in the first episode, I thought, well, he's getting caught already. I thought that was the whole series. But you pull everything off pretty much from jail, and you're just... slightly
calm, cool, and collected.
Slightly entertained and having a good time. You're really...
Well, because he's had an awfully long time to plan it.
Sure.
So everything, it's working like a Swiss clock at the moment, anyway. You know, everything is falling into place. All the dials are turning at exactly the pace and the speed that he wants them to turn. And he knows exactly what's going to happen. So it's very exciting playing somebody like that who is holding all the cards and... a very high edifice looking down at everybody else scrabbling in the gutter trying to find out what he's going to do. So he's supremely confident.
Sure. And of course, your nemesis, played by the great actor Kevin Bacon on the show, he's the guy who knows everything there is to know about your serial killer, but you still are in the driver's seat. He is still always playing catch up because you always know more than he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always a good thing. And audience is kind of like that. I think there is a sort of deliciousness that they find in watching somebody doing that kind of thing. So, it's been very interesting for me out on the streets of New York at the moment.
How do people respond to you? Because I imagine some people who watch the show know exactly who you are. Other people have seen you in certain things. Maybe they've seen you in this, and they're not sure, but they're scared of you.
Well, they're wary. They're very wary, but they're delighted by it. I think more than anything else, they get excited. They meet you in the street, and they gush about the show. And I think you know people. People love watching good TV, don't they?
I agree.
And
yes.
TV that grabs you by the throat and you don't know what's going to happen next.
You're absolutely right. And these days, it is so rare to have a show come out of the gate and kind of be not only a ratings hit, but a critical hit and also a water cooler show, the type of show that people are already kind of talking about and getting invested in and looking forward to the next episode. Those are few and far between on American television.
I am in a fortunate position. I've seen the next episode, and the next episode is jaw-dropping.
What happens?
Well, there's stuff in it that you will see that you will go, I cannot believe I'm watching this on a television.
Is that the challenge? I mean, you did do Shakespeare. You spent a lot of time on stage. Is that the challenge of doing a TV show?
Well, I think one of the challenges is, you know, you just, as I say, you want it to grab people by the throat. You want people talking about it. Otherwise, what's the point? you want people going, that I've never seen anything like that on TV before in my life. That was extraordinary, that episode. You know, and you want people, I guess, you know, the character has to be a very formidable opponent for Kevin Bacon.
Right.
And he has to be scary. So when people say, I'm scared of you, or I was scared of you that night watching it, then you've kind of succeeded.
I'm scared of you on the phone. You're not even in front of me, and I'm scared.
Well, I know
he should be scary. That's a good thing.
Okay, sure. And I know that you have been saying in interviews ahead of the show debuting what a fan you are of Kevin Bacon, and that just must be such a thrill for you to be able to go toe to toe with an actor like that.
Well, yes. I mean, I kind of feel like he's been around me all my life. He's one of those actors that you just go, I don't remember a time watching movies when you weren't in them.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
right.
I mean, I was thinking about Animal House the other day because I watched it the other day, and there he was.
There he is.
I was 15 when I first saw Animal House.
Did you tell him that?
He must be 190.
He does look good for his age, whatever his age is.
Because I'm old.
Although,
you know what I mean?
although you're making him age quickly in this particular show.
Well, that would be good. If we can get him going really gray
over
the course of the season, then that would be a success.
I feel like two more episodes, that'll happen.
Well, it's a terrific show, and it's not too late to catch up on it. Episode 2 re-airs tonight on Fox at 9, and then Episode 3, which we are told is jaw-dropping, is going to be Monday night on Fox. The program is called The Following. Great to meet actor James Purefoy. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean
Show
today, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:57.
And? Yes, you are.
Yes, and you are.
And Ralph is here with the show Biz Beat Now on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. That was my fault.
Are we keeping you from something, Dean?
Not at all. Totally my fault.
Did the sheep need haying or something? Is there something needs to be done?
Did you have your microphone off?
I had my microphone on.
Yes!
And I was trying to decide how to say the thing that I was going to say and just decided instead when I looked at the clock and saw how late it was to not say
just
it.
And
then,
say
of
nothing.
Course, I said, ended up saying nothing, and that just screwed everybody up.
No, strong.
And now I've buried whatever time Ralph did have by explaining it for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
All right, here's me. Randy Travis.
Guilty.
Well, yes, actually. He was sentenced. He was sentenced yesterday for that drunk driving arrest they made in Texas back in August. You may remember the story because not only was Randy found driving while intoxicated, but they did find him lying naked on the road after crashing his car in a construction zone in Texas while drinking.
Hard to get away when you're passed out naked.
Well, it certainly draws attention to you, I think.
Especially if you're famous.
As someone who's maybe done something wrong.
And he's in the Mugshot Hall of Fame, too,
yeah,
right, Randy
Travis?
That's a great mugshot.
Sentenced yesterday to 180 days in jail after pleading guilty to drunk driving. But he probably won't spend a single minute behind bars.
Why do we play these word games? Let's just not sentence him to jail, then.
The justice system is confusing sometimes, isn't it?
It's just too many people, so he can't?
He was sentenced to 180 days in jail at Grayson County in Texas, but that sentence was probated for 2 years, which means he just gets 2 years probation, meaning if he stays out of trouble for 2 years, he can avoid jail.
Oh, then he's going to jail.
Now, if he runs afoul of the law...
Oh, that's why they do it. Then they can
officials can bring him in, and then he will have to serve out the full 180 days. So it's just you be a good boy for 2 years, and we'll just say bygones be bygones at this point. He also has to complete inpatient alcohol treatment for a minimum of 30 days, and he's got to do 100 hours of community service.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but it is.
Travis also has to install an ignition interlock device on his vehicle. Any vehicle that he drives the next 2 years. This means he's got to blow into a straw, and the computer has to say, yeah, okay, you're not loaded. You can operate your vehicle. So there are some conditions, but look, it's better than doing time in the Hooskow.
Sure.
Gray Bar Hotel.
Sure.
The big house.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And a big star like Randy Travis, I mean, 100 hours of community service, that's like forever and ever, amen.
Oh.
You didn't even like that one.
Oh.
Put that in the
file.
You were going for that. Was an attempt at the file.
So file.
Bean squared his shoulders toward the file and took a shot.
File.
Yeah, what's up?
That's a cake with a file inside of it. That's what that is right there.
That makes me not want to put it in the file. It's too much of a file attempt.
Trying to get in file.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's don't like one, put that in file.
It's like one of those.
An anti-file file?
It's one of those movies where the guy's trying to get arrested so he can get into prison to break somebody out or something. He just can't.
And James Purefoy of the following.
Yeah, we're not going to let you. We're not going to let you in. We're not going to let you in there. Sorry, you don't get in the file now.
Nice try.
I still enjoyed it.
You're excluded from file night.
And Chicken Cutlet Night both?
And Chicken Cutlet Night.
Damn it.
Justin Bieber has more bad luck with a motor vehicle. He's got to stop loaning his car out to douchebag rappers. His Ferrari was pulled over again. This time, behind the wheel was not Lil Twist or Lil Joe or Lil Screwdriver.
No, it was Lil Twist. You got it right.
No, it was Lil Za this time. Lil Za was behind
who's
the wheel
Lil
this
Za?
Time. He is a douchebag rapper who's another who's friends with Bieber.
Bieber's only friend with little people?
Yes, he likes Lils.
All right.
Lil Za was pulled over around 1:30 a.m. this morning for windows being too tinted. The Ferrari's windows were too tinted. Turns out Lil Za doesn't have a driver's license either.
Mm. He's nine.
So deputies put him in the back of a squad car. Driving without a license, turns out, is an arrestable offense, people.
Ooh.
In case you're thinking about doing that, don't drive without a license.
Let me make a note.
But he had a good sense of humor about the whole thing. He was flipping off the photographers and looks like law enforcement while he was back in the back seat of their squad car.
Better than yesterday's story about the backseat of the squad car.
That's right, yeah. So you can go to TMZ.com if you want to see an incredibly douchey picture of Bieber and Lil Za mugging up for the camera. He's got, he's bad.
Is he bad? Look, he's annoying to people who don't like. Is he getting to the point where he's going to start driving away fans, do you think? Because he really is douchey.
They just, whatever he does.
In all capital letters. I know, but at some point.
10-year-old girls, they don't know any better.
Huh.
It's Lil Twist, Lil Za, and Lil Talent. But no one cares.
Today, he's a douche.
He is. Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of people born today. Lauren Conrad from The Hills. She's 27 years old today. Heather Morris from Glee plays Britney on that show. She's 26. Harry Styles of One Direction's 19 years old. Ralphie May, the comedian, is 41. Big Boy of Outkast turns 38. Michael C. Hall from Dexter, 42 years old today. Patrick Wilson of Weezer turns 44. Pauly Shore, comedian?
I think you should just drop that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 45 years old. Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks fame is 48. Exene Cervenka from X turns 57 years old. Billy Mummy, who was in Lost in Space, is Will Robinson, but also the creepiest kid ever in that Twilight Zone episode where he can do things with his mind. You ever see that one?
I don't remember that one.
I don't like you talking to me like that. He turns people like to jack-in-the-boxes and stuff
fantastic
with his mind. It's awesome. 59 years old, Don Everly of the legendary Everly Brothers turned 76. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Strange Addictions on TLC, season 3, getting ready to get underway next week. We'll talk about episode 1 in a few minutes, which is the lady who's addicted to eating cat fur. So we got that going for us.
Come
on. She eats cat hair all day long.
Come on.
She chews on it like a snack.
And cleans her cat with her mouth. Back to you.
So we got that. Also, actor, one of our favorites, Rob Corddry, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour talking about his new film, Warm Bodies.
Try to arrange your breakfast before 7:30 or after 7:45.
Okay, thank you.
It's good advice. Well, the Super Bowl is this weekend. Hey,
what?
Lisa, which teams are playing this year?
The Ravens and the 49ers. Look at
that. She finally got it.
Was this in the news?
She finally got it. And we'll talk to Cousin Sal later about all the crazy bets that you can make, because it's more than just who wins the game or even the point spread. I mean, there are lots of bets. And lots of people get invested in the Super Bowl for whatever reason. Especially, look, if your team makes it to the Super Bowl, it's the most important thing that's going to happen to you all year long.
Yeah, right? And if you've been a lifetime fan, for most people, it's the first and only time they'll make it. You know,
absolutely,
most teams
yeah
don't repeat and repeat like a few.
So we thought it would be interesting to find out the non-monetary things that you have bet on. You know, the bets that you made with your friends or with your spouse or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend or parents or siblings or whatever it is, where you had to do something if you lost the bet or you won the bet.
Yeah. So we're looking for the worst slash best. If you won the bet, it's the best.
Right.
And if you lost the bet, it's the worst. We had a couple that we talked to on the air a few years ago who said that they were married and they had different teams and both teams were in the Super Bowl. So she said, if your team wins, I will open up the back door to the house, and you can come in through the back door. And nice. He said, well, all right now.
What did he have to do, by the way?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't remember because her team lost. That's all we cared about.
Yeah, that's true.
So she ended up having to allow that. which he took advantage of.
So best Super Bowl bet ever and worst Super Bowl bet ever at the same time,
yes.
Right? In that
yes.
case. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to know what the high stakes were or the hilarious thing that somebody had to do when they lost a bet. What about the people who, and there always are, you'll see them on the news Monday, I guarantee, who have to get a tattoo of the other team. What
yeah.
about those? What about the people who are so sure their team's going to win that they will agree to a tattoo of a team they don't even like if they lose their bet?
That cracks me up because, really, honestly, you can't – nothing is money in the bank when it comes to a sporting event. Nothing.
I would never
anyone
make
can,
that
look,
bet. That's
by the time
nuts.
You get to the Super Bowl, either team can win.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's completely lopsided and one team – when was it? The Giants that beat New England or something like that? They were –
and New England was 18-0 going into the game.
Yes.
Yes.
And no
right.
one gave them a chance, and still they won. So why would you bet a tattoo? That's crazy.
So sports fans are nuts.
Well,
that's
they are,
why.
But they're in their enthusiasm, I guess.
Yeah.
So excited about their team being in the Super Bowl that they
sure.
don't think they're going to lose, so they don't think it through, so they make the bet.
That's betting with your heart and not with your head.
Yeah.
I think is what that is. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number. What Super Bowl bets have you been a part of? Let's take one before the break, and this is going to be Nancy, who got us on line one here. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
What were the two teams?
My team is the Redskins, and my neighbor Kenny is a huge Cowboy fan. Well, that's a huge rivalry.
Sure,
of course,
and
yeah.
So I absolutely hate the Cowboys, and we made a bet to mow each other's yard in that other person's jersey, and I had to mow my neighbor Kenny's yard in a Troy Aikman jersey of all things. And my husband and all the guys on the street brought over their beach chairs and their ice chests, and they chanted in the street, "Mow that yard!
Nice.
Mow that yard!" the whole time. It was horrible.
It is funny sometimes when you can kind of slip it in under the radar, but when everybody's watching, that makes it so
yeah.
much worse.
And by the way, and I guess that couldn't have been a Super Bowl, I guess, if it was Redskins-Cowboys. It must have been the playoffs, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, it was the playoffs. Yeah, it was the playoffs.
As a Redskins fan, you hate the Cowboys so much, and it must have just made your skin crawl just to have to put an Aikman jersey on.
It was horrible. I hated it.
Yeah, of course.
I hate the Cowboys.
That's hilarious. All right, Nancy, great. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
1-800-520-1067.
Super Bowl bets. We're taking your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Woman Who Eats Cat Hair coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Rob Corddry in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking about Super Bowl bets. It's not a monetary bet. It's something much worse than that. Painful or embarrassing. You lost or won. We want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Paulina. She is on line three, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Paulina.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
We are good. What were the teams?
The team was the Packers and the Steelers. I bet against the Packers. And what had happened was I went to a Super Bowl party with my entire family, and they're all Packers fans. And I was just trash-talking, you know, regular football stuff. And, yeah, so the bet, what I lost was, actually, I have to name all of my kids after Packers players.
What?
Whether they're guys or girls. So
wait,
my family
forever?
Forever. My family.
All of them?
All of them.
Have you had any kids?
No.
Little Favre running around the house?
No. I'm holding off on that for
why
a while.
Why would you bet something that you have to do for the rest of your life?
Well, I didn't mean for it to turn out that way. I only meant was like my first like couple of kids.
Yeah, really? That's better. How many do you plan to have?
The first couple only.
But they like ran with it and said, "Oh, all of your kids, whether they're guys or girls."
Were you drinking when you made the bet?
No.
Liar.
No.
The good news is the good news is, and I'm sure you've looked at the Packers roster, is there are a lot of normal names. There's a lot of, you know, Gregs and Aarons and Joes and Mikes and stuff like that. So you can get away with a normal name that doesn't automatically scream Packer, right?
Yeah, I guess I can. But what about if I have a girl? I mean, they're all guys.
Yeah, you're going to have trouble with a girl.
You know, we didn't make that bet.
Just go with Jamari. There's a player named Jamari on the team. Just go with that for a girl. All right, thank you for the call, Paulina. Paulina may never have children as a result of that Super Bowl.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, let's talk to Will. He's on line one, guys. He's got a bet that hasn't happened yet. It's for this Sunday's game.
Okay, all right, Will.
What's up, Kevin?
Which is a 49er fan and which is a Ravens fan?
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steamroll your niceties with Lisa.
Kevin.
All right, who's rooting for who with you and your wife?
So I got the Ravens.
Okay.
She's got the Niners.
All right.
And this year, if she wins, she gets a hookup with one of my friends.
And by hookup with, I just want to clarify, because I know what I think when someone says that. That means have sex with.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you mean, yeah, I guess?
These terms have not been already discussed in great detail?
I still got 2 days here.
To do what?
To decide on how far she can go.
Does she want to do this also?
Oh, yeah. She's totally in for it.
More than life itself.
Is there a friend of yours that she's particularly sweet on, and that's why she's trying to get this bet going?
I think so. She brought it up, so I'm assuming so.
Dude.
You're so in trouble.
This is bad news.
Well, at least look at it this way. This is the last Super Bowl you'll be married.
So, then if I win...
You get to hook up with one of her friends?
She has to smell like raspberries with dew on it.
Oh, it's a prank. That would have been so good.
Yeah. And he didn't even play it very well.
Yeah,
either,
it was
too.
Poorly played. We very like pranks. Played. If you can prank us, we're happy about it. But that was poorly played.
And I did want it to be true. I wanted that to be somebody's bed for the Super Bowl.
Aw. Hmm. Well, you know who won't disappoint us? The woman who eats cat hair.
That's true.
She's 100%er, I guarantee. Yeah. Is that a stenographer? Is that the name of the person that types in court?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And can keep up with rapid speech?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
We need somebody like that in here.
Wouldn't that be funny for a day?
Thanks for that info, Bean. I can't write that fast.
I bet someone would come in and do it.
I'm trying desperately to keep up with the SH crap that comes out of Bean's mouth, and I can't write that fast.
Let's get someone in. We won't tell Bean they're here, so that won't stop him.
Moving on. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. Thanks a lot for joining us today. I'm excited about the Super Bowl this weekend like everybody else, but I have to look past it now to February 13th because that's really the big TV day in February this year because it's the premiere of Season 3 of Strange Addiction on TLC. And Lisa, what did we learn? TLC, that stands for what?
Totally something.
Freak Show Network. Yes, that's right. Freak Show Network.
She was mouthing the F word. I don't know what she thought.
The Strange Addiction has a phenomenal season lined up. They have a woman who drinks nail polish all the time. I saw a clip from a woman who snorts baby powder. They've got a couple that gives each other coffee enemas on this year's shows. They've got a woman addicted to bee stings. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and they're exactly what you think. They're strange addictions.
A person who eats deodorant.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Yes. But their mouth smells great. You have fallen very deeply in love with Lisa, 43, from Detroit, Michigan. How come?
Well, first of all, she's H-O-T.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, she's not.
In a June from the Honey Boo Boo Show sort of way.
It turns out that eating cat hair makes you fat. This
How
woman,
is that possible, by the way?
Well, she's fat, and she eats cat hair. I don't know. This is the one that's going to air on the 13th that Bean was talking about. It's TLC's My Strange Addiction. And this woman is addicted to eating cat hair.
Hmm. I've never heard of that.
I haven't either.
Nor have I.
It seems like for most of us, you go out of your way to not do that. If you get a cat hair in your food, you're grossed out. Maybe you don't even finish the meal.
Right.
She eats cat hair by itself.
That has got to screw up your insides, doesn't it?
Well, look at her.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing's going through.
Here's a little audio that they've put up online. I also tweeted it out. And this is the woman who eats cat hair.
My name is Lisa. I'm 43 years old, and I'm addicted to eating cat hair. Just chewing it is relaxing.
Has she tried gum?
We're unable to ask her questions as of right now.
Okay.
You know what? We should try and get her on the show, though. Maybe she would come on the 13th.
Love it.
And we could ask her about it.
It's a comforting feeling. Her fur is such an interesting texture. It's so soft and puffy.
Now that, for me, I'm sorry, but for me, the texture is a deal breaker.
Yeah, for anybody.
Cat hair is not a pleasant texture. She makes it sound like it's so comforting.
It's not food. I know that.
And like cotton candy, almost. Sometimes they do get stuck in your teeth, but you can just get them out with flossing and brushing.
Oh, that's so attractive. Can you imagine her going out on a date and you're sitting at a restaurant and she reaches in her purse and steals a little something and puts it in her mouth? You go, what are you doing?
That's
eating
bizarre.
Cat hair.
She's not going out on dates. She's a crazy cat.
Good point. Good point. No dates.
Sorry, it's in my lipstick.
Sorry, it's in my lipstick.
I kind of look at it and make sure it's relatively clean and just gaff her.
I like that it's relatively clean. It doesn't
you
have to be clean.
You can only do what you can do.
Relatively clean. She picks it up, goes on to say, off the floor. off the back of the couch.
Does she have cat breeds that are just shedding a lot, and that's why there's always hair to pull off? Or is she pulling hair out of her cats? Are her poor cats looking sad and bald?
Her favorite way of eating cat hair is to pull the hair out of the cat.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, because that's not fun for the cat.
I can't imagine.
Kind of break it apart and then just put it in my mouth. I'll chew it up a little bit and then take it out and maybe mess with it a little bit and then put it back in.
She's a prize, huh? Wouldn't you want to spend some time with her? She's chewing it like she's a cow chewing cud, taking it back out, looking at it and putting it back in.
I'm sure many of our questions will be answered, but how does one get started down this path?
I don't know.
There's, I guess you could say maybe like a cotton ball taste. It's much less of a flavor than even human hair.
Which means, of course, she's tried human hair.
Right.
That is a thing.
Is it?
Yeah. It's got a clinical name, and there are people.
You're right.
It's, you know, mostly girls, and they'll just, you know, put the ends of their hair in their mouth. They don't really think about it.
I thought that was just like a nervous thing. They end up eating it?
They kind of end up eating it. And
is that part of the pica syndrome where you eat things that aren't food? I mean, is that just one of those?
It may be. I don't know. But I know if you get that big hairball in your stomach, which people do, it's called a bijou.
Okay.
Oh, I know. A little something today.
I saw it on Grey's Anatomy.
That can't be good.
It can't be good.
Who's hungry?
I find the cat hair that I eat all over the apartment, on the floor or on the back of the couch or on the perch. But the best ones are right off the cat. I groom my cat with my tongue like a mama cat would do to her kitten.
She grooms her cat with her tongue.
She just sits there and licks it like a popsicle, doesn't she?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, she's licking her cat.
Ew!
She'll just like spread out on my arms. I'll just clean like her shoulders and her ears and the back of her head and stuff and her face. I don't get as involved as another cat would. I'm not licking her butt.
Oh, I'm glad you draw the
line. She draws the line at the butt. She is not. She does not clean the cat butt.
She's not twisting.
And by the way, she says like some people do.
Like what?
She has friends or she's in a group, a support group where some people do that?
Does she not get, is she getting help for this?
That's a great question.
It's not like, it isn't like, I don't think this show is like Hoarders where they try to come in
and actually
and help and try to clean stuff up. And
but they should take this cat away from this lady, right?
No question.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wow, Kevin.
Ugh.
She has been doing it for years. She has had over 3,000 hairballs since her addiction began 15 years ago.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Too graphic.
I don't even want you to ask the question. We all know what you're going to say. So February 13th, we'll meet and fall deeply in love with Lisa, TLC's My Strange Addiction.
I'll just clean like her shoulders and her ears and the back of her head and stuff and her face.
But
I don't get as involved as another cat would. I'm not licking her butt.
She's not licking her butt.
Good. I'm glad.
So there's a positive to that.
We're going to give you another chance to go to Amsterdam to see Mumford & Sons in concert. It's destination number 4, the K-Rock World Tour 2013. You can qualify at 9:10 this morning. So about an hour and 15 minutes from right now, win the latest Mumford album, Babel, and be on the standby boarding list. Grand prize drawing is Monday right here on good old K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph Kramer. What's going on?
Good morning, boys and girls. Quick heads up, if you'd like to see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show where we make fun of people in show business, largely because we are very insecure about our own position in that same industry. Kevin gets stoned, I get drunk. He's the nice one, I'm the cranky one. Come see us tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at 8 p.m. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for more details and to purchase your tickets through the website there. But it's a good time, and we have a great, great show lined up for this week, and we'd love to see you come out and join
us. Also funny drunk.
I like to think so. And Kevin's a very funny stone guy, so with the help of various and sundry substances, we're able to put together a pretty funny show, usually. Ron Jeremy, it makes me sad. When he went to the hospital complaining of chest pains and then they operated on him, I assumed they had gotten a hold of that aneurysm before it became a problem and he'd be okay. Yesterday, we were told he was resting comfortably. Now we find out he's actually heavily sedated and intubated. He's on a respirator.
Ooh. Dude.
Everything is in a holding pattern, according to doctors. They're waiting to see what develops. They anticipate it'll be at least 2 or 3 days before they take him off the respirator and see how he responds. And he'll probably be in the hospital for at least 2 or 3 weeks if everything goes the best case scenario.
Yeah.
So, pulling for Ryan. Hope he does well.
He'll still make a movie while he's in the hospital, though, right?
He's got four scheduled, yeah.
I'm sure, the nurses or whatever.
Why, yes, I did order pizza. Give him some intravenous Viagra, and it's...
I'm sure that'll still work.
I'm your nurse. I'm here to give you your sponge bath. What kind of world do we live in where Ron Jeremy is... clinging to life, and Chelsea Handler walks around healthy. What kind of... Is there a God? I say no, sir. Effing Chelsea Handler. Here's the thing. I'm no Piers Morgan fan either, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Piers Morgan went on Chelsea Handler this week, and they just went at it.
Really? He took her on?
On her talk show on Wednesday night. Well, Piers is not a guy to shy away from some confrontation. Neither is she. He sat down. He started off the interview by looking at her and saying... Did you have plastic surgery or a makeover? Because you look really good today.
Wow, that's a guy. That's someone looking for a fight.
Boom! Hit her with right in the solar plexus. And then the interview went downhill from there, if you can believe it or not.
I need to see this.
Chelsea said, I don't want you to undress me with your molester eyes, your child molester eyes. And he just said, well, I'm just surprised how good you look, because usually when I see you, you're hungover in a really unprofessional way. she ended up the interview by telling him to suck her A.
Oh, good.
So that all happened on television. That was a conversation that was had on television. So I guess I'm Team Pierce on this one.
I guess you are.
I guess I have to be. I have no
choice.
You have
to pick a side.
You have to. Because all it takes for evil to triumph, Kevin, is for good men to do nothing.
That's right. I've always said that.
You know that. I remember you tried to say that.
I said versions of that.
Looks like it may be over between George Clooney and Stacey Keibler.
Oh, and that one seemed like it was going to last.
Yeah.
I had hope for those two crazy kids. According to In Touch magazine, George liked Stacey because she was not interested at all in fame or show business or the A-list or any of that kind of stuff. But now that she's been living that lifestyle for a while... She's getting a little obsessed to it, a little used to it. She wants a little bit more. She wants a little more in the limelight, a little more of the fame, a little more of the money.
When did he get the impression that she wasn't interested in all that? When she was on Dancing with the Stars as a contestant? Is that when he thought she didn't want the limelight?
Well, girl's got to make a dollar. Can't hold that against her.
Wow. But that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But he just thought she seemed unfazed by all that stuff, and now apparently she's getting a little too wrapped up in that world. Because George likes to keep it real, you know.
Sure.
And
plus, he doesn't like to stay with the same girl very long.
That's true. Plus, he likes to bang a lot of different women. That's another part of it, too.
I bet he has, once he's done you like 100 times, he's out. No matter how awesome you are, he still wants to move on to someone else.
He's got an abacus next to the bed. He just moves one bead over every time he has sex with you. But by the time they're all on one side of the abacus, your time is up.
He has a long list of standbys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right next to his hourglass. Right next to his hourglass is his abacus there.
Imagine the waiting list of women to get with Clooney. It's got to be like trying to get Packers tickets, season tickets or something, right?
Now serving. And he clicks that big deli sign over his bed, and the next girl, that's mine. I've got the ticket right here. Come on in. And Universal Studios is not kidding around. They are taking on the producers of that triple X-rated version of 50 Shades of Grey to court. Now, you know, it's real popular now because the home DVD porn market is suffering because of the internet. So what they've done, their new niche now, is to make parodies of old TV shows or popular comic book characters or whatever to try to generate some interest in buying their DVDs.
Right.
So there's a company that did the triple X parody of 50 Shades of Grey. And Universal said, hey, it's not a parody, it's the book. You just filmed the book. It's a porno version of the book, which is porn. And we paid a lot of money for the rights to that book, and you can't do your porn before we do our porn, damn it.
You know, I think we talk about these parodies are always protected, you know, if you're doing Star Trek or Gilligan's Island or whatever, but I think they've got a pretty good case that how do you parody a book that's already fairly pornographic?
That's what Universal's position is. It's not a parody at all. There's no spoofing going on. There's no satire going on. It's just a recreation from the page to the screen of those characters and the sex that they
have.
It's
not 50 Shades of Brown?
No, it's not at all. So they're taking him to court. They filed a lawsuit over copyright infringement, and yesterday they followed up with an injunction, and they claim the quick and cheaply produced pornographic work is likely to cause irreparable harm by poisoning public perception of the trilogy and the forthcoming Universal films. people won't go see our expensive and lengthily made pornographic work if they're watching the quickly and cheaply produced version, Universal said. Or at least they said in my mind. Yeah. They paid $3 million for the rights to...
Well, guess you got to protect it.
...to produce that film. So I can see why they'd be ticked off. Today's celebrity birthdays. Harry Styles of One Direction's 19 years old today. I only give him... The credit of having made the birthday list because apparently Taylor Swift is still crying over the fact that he broke up with her.
Who?
Tadoff Swindler.
Thank you.
As long as anyone makes her unhappy, he's all right in my book. So happy birthday, Harry Styles of
friend
One Direction.
Of my enemy is my enemy's that thing. Friend. However you said it. However you said a minute ago.
The enemy of my enemy yes. is my friend.
Right.
Yes.
So we're with Harry.
Heather Morris of Glee is 26 years old. Lauren Conrad is 27. Big Boy of Outkast is 38 years old. Comedian Ralphie May celebrates his 41st birthday. Michael C. Hall of Dexter fame is 42. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 44. Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks is 48. Exene Cervenka of the legendary band X celebrates her 57th birthday today. Billy Mummy from Lost in Space and Twilight Zone. And he's an actor, he's a writer, he's a singer, producer. Half of Barnes & Barnes, by the way, who gave us the classic Fish Heads song. Remember that?
Sure.
He's 59 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I can honestly say he's one of our always, always happy to see him guests. Rob Corddry joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bacon.
Hey, am I a friend of the show yet?
No.
Yes. Yes.
I think you are.
I would say yes, you are.
It's been on a lot.
I meant yes.
How long have you been on, do you think? I bet you've been
on. So non-committal.
I bet you've been on six, seven, eight times, I bet.
Are you serious?
Don't you think?
I'd say three or four.
But I'd like him to be on more.
But Comic-Con felt like
Comic-Con
a lot.
Comic-Con felt like a lot.
Comic-Con felt like two or three shows.
Yeah, kind of did.
Right? Yeah, well, that was fun.
We always end up having Rob on because he's always in stuff that we love, you know, whether it's the hot tub time machine or the children's hospital, obviously, or something like that. And now this Warm Bodies, which is just so in our wheelhouse. We were just talking to you off the air about how funny this movie looks. And you'd think that we'd be zombied out. There have been so many projects in recent years, but we really haven't seen anything like this on the big screen.
No. This is a really unique idea. But also, like, we've been inundated with zombie movies since they started, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are always asking me, like, oh, it's a new thing. Like, oh, God, are you sick of this zombie, like, surge? And I'm like, it's never stopped since, like...
It's true.
Whatever. When was the first one? Romero?
God.
I don't know.
It's black and white. I mean, it was...
Yeah,
like,
it
60.
Was.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But, I mean, especially since Walking Dead, though, it seems like so many other projects have kind of sprung out of the interest in that it seems like there have been a bunch of them in the, you know, actual big screen movies that have come out.
But here's the problem is when there's a genre like that and then somebody comes along and tries to kind of take a different take on it, maybe a humorous take on it, it's pretty crappy most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, like, people immediately have their fists up, too, right? Like,
ready.
Nobody's geekier than horror fans in general.
Right.
And then the subgenre of zombie fans, they're like, do not mess with my zombie genre. But I've not heard one complaint from, like, purists.
Anyone who's seen it says they love it.
Yeah.
It's getting great reviews.
Well, I was telling you guys off during the break that, like, it's so nice to promote a movie and I don't have to fake that I like it.
Which one would you say you fake the most on?
Oh, God, there's so many.
What's the worst?
What Happens in Vegas was a tough one.
That came to my mind first.
Because it's not a bad movie in terms of, like, it's for what it is, it's good, but I would never watch it in a million years by myself.
That was a Rob Corddry mortgage movie, right? That's what that was.
It was. It did not. It did okay. Yeah, yeah. My kids will go to college eventually.
Good for you.
I've asked a lot of people questions like that, and no one answers them. Thank you.
Maybe
that's wrong. Did I do something wrong?
No, you did something right.
So, Rob, with your dashing, handsome leading man looks, obviously, you've played a lot of romantic roles in the past because, you know, what starlet in town doesn't want to make out with Rob Corddry?
Agree.
But you had to kind of, I mean, you know, you're romantic and suave and sophisticated and sensitive and everything, but you're also dead. So this one was, you had to play this one a little differently.
Still handsome though, right?
Oh,
like
Mary. I think so.
What can you do about that?
Really shines through.
It's hard to tone it down when there's somebody like you.
Well, you know the whole zombie makeup was designed around Nicholas Holt, the, you know, my, the lead of the movie, because he's so beautiful. And they were like, we don't want to make him too disgusting because this is really about getting girls into the...
Right, you want to get the Twilight fans to come see your movie.
Yeah.
And then they said, let's bring in Cordry then.
And then they were like, Vitamin Cordry.
So what was that like every day putting that makeup on? What was the process like? How long did it take?
Actually, it wasn't that bad. Like, those people were really cool, and it was probably a couple of hours, but... I had fun the whole time. Like, they were just, we just hung out and listened to music and talked about movies and stuff. It was fun.
Now, I don't know this Nicholas Holt as an actor. I don't know him. He looks very funny in the trailer. You also have a model, an America's Next Top Model contestant, Annalee Tipton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was in that, wasn't she?
Teresa Palmer looks hot. I've been pleased by that.
She's super hot.
And Dave Franco, who's a guy who's kind of coming up as an actor right
now. How
about
that?
People like that dude, too, right?
Not, very easy on the eyes.
John Malkovich, very hot.
John Malkovich?
Right.
Oh. I've met him now twice, and it never not awkward with John Malkovich. Oh, my God.
Tell me about him, because he does seem like a weirdo, but he's great in everything.
Oh, he's, of course, right? Yeah. And like he's,
but a weirdo.
It's like one goes
with
the
other. Could not be weirder. Could not be weirder. Like, I met him on set, and he was like, hello, nice to meet you. And I was like, uh-huh. Cool. And it was like it was this moment where I was like, I'm not going to walk away because that would be giving in to the awkwardness. But then the other night we had a premiere, like Tuesday night there was the premiere, and he was sitting in the table next to me. And some photographer was like, hey, I want to get a picture of you and John and Corey, who is the soldier, the black guy, the soldier in the movie.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, great. And I could tell during the picture that John Malkovich was looking at me like, who are you?
Like he hadn't met you?
Really?
Had no idea who I was. Oh. And then it took him like about 30 seconds and he went, oh. Like it registered and you could see the light.
Did he say that out loud?
Yeah. What? Yes. No. Well, he went, oh. You were very good in the movie.
He had to say that. He felt like he had to say that, didn't he?
I didn't believe him.
Yeah,
but
he's an actor. He should be able to make you believe.
He is a real actor.
I know.
And you know what I said? Like, super awkward. And I cringe at this. I went, and there was this pause, and I went, hey, I was reading the credits, and you and I have the same stand-in. And he just kind of stared at me, and I went, and then I went, because we're bald. And he was like, nice to meet you.
That did not rise above his line for conversation?
That wasn't the most fascinating anecdote ever.
That's the same thing you say. That's my birthday.
It's so true.
And then there's nothing else to say about that.
Oh. I feel like I was trying to have sex with him. You know? And I was like, not doing well. Like, God, I'm not going to have sex with John Malkovich tonight.
I still had my heart set on that.
So he's obviously the big name on campus. I mean, he's, you know, a star.
Yeah.
Were you at all starstruck by him? Or is it when you're on set, you guys are...
I mean, that's
really,
the focus of all my stories so far. Like,
you're just starstruck.
I was so starstruck by him that, like, I you know, he was like... He did a video with, there's a video called True West, and it was like a televised play back in the 80s.
That
and
sounds
it was,
bad.
It's a Sam Shepard.
Oh, you're going to hate
Sam
it.
Sam Shepard. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sam Shepard, exactly. Yeah. And it was like my acting class, basically. Gary Sinise.
Wow. Okay, now you're in a movie with the dude, and he doesn't know who you
are.
That's
and he
full
doesn't
circle.
Care about me? At all.
Are you supposed to come in here and claim that you have his number and you two talk daily and
but
all that?
After that discussion, I feel like he went home and said, "I had the most awkward
conversation."
Oh, I would love to hear
what an honor. What an honor that would be.
I would love to hear his version of that story.
I would love nothing more than for him to avoid me. At a function because
and
I'm awkward.
Socially awkward.
Then the guy told me we had the same stand-in. What am I supposed to
say?
Can you
believe he said that we were both bald? Like, who talks about that?
That's awesome. All right, John Malkovich is in the film along with our friend Rob Cordry. It is called Warm Bodies. Website is warmbodiesmovie.com. It does look awesome and is in theaters today. More with Rob after this on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Rob Cordry is here. The film is called Warm Bodies. It's the best rom-com zom movie you're going to see all weekend long. It's in theaters everywhere. Please do go see it.
There's a lot of really good rom-zom comedy is out right now.
I agree,
so.
But yours is the best, though.
Is at the top of the list.
The gold standard. Rob was telling us how he almost single-handedly got to Ben and Kate canceled, so good job with that.
I will bury your show. Do not put me on it.
Seriously, Lisa, you're right. He's like the cooler, man. You don't bring Rob in. What's going on? You were all over the internets the other day when, you know, because we're in the time of year where the new shows are being announced and whatnot. And they're letting you on a network for reals, like ABC is a real network. And you're going to do a show for them?
I feel like it's a mistake.
I thought, do they know what they did?
I don't think they
do. Do they know you're the guy from Midnight like, on the Adult Swim?
Yeah, they know I'm a little creepy and hard to look at. Right? I don't know.
Tell us what it is, can you?
It's called Spy. And I play like a guy that kind of...
Spies.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, run, don't walk. I happen into a job at the CIA. Like, I think I'm going in for a data entry job.
Love it.
And then they think I'm so dumb that they think I'm really smart. And yes. I end up in the CIA.
That could happen.
How is that? How could that be bad?
That sounds great.
It's really funny, too. It's based on a British show.
Oh,
so, okay. You know, it's got to be smart.
Yeah, of course. Sure. I'll so watch is anything this based on
like fall 2013 or the summer or what? What are we going to
see? I have no idea, actually. Like, they cast me and then that was the last I heard.
Is it possible it already ended?
It might be over. It might be. I don't care as long as I get paid.
Is it possible they already recast your role?
Wait, you don't get paid for anything?
Nothing. What? This is the first time, like, no, I think I might even be known as one of those guys that will just, like, work for nothing.
So the people who don't have money, they go get Cordy. He'll
do it. Like at Children's Hospital. It's like it practically costs me money to do that show.
Well, I'm enjoying it, so I'm glad that you're paying for my enjoyment.
Well, you might owe me money.
I appreciate it.
Now, there was also some talk since the last time we had you in about a Hot Tub Time Machine sequel, yay or nay?
Yeah.
That's happening.
For real. Yeah, that's happening.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think we're just sort of waiting on Clark and Craig's schedule because they're on the office, and once they free up, I mean, I'm pretty sure we're just gonna like the script is not ready at all, but they're like, who cares? Let's just shoot it.
Yes, those are the best.
That's how the best movies are made,
right? It's gonna be terrible.
That's the recipe for success.
I can't wait though.
How many downloads and rentals do you think you've gotten from Hot Tub Time Machine since it came out just from people who want to see Mrs. Don Draper naked in the hot tub?
Oh, that's a great scene, huh?
It's the best.
I feel like we've talked about this before. Like,
no,
why does this always come up when I'm here?
It doesn't matter.
She's
the kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best. She's my favorite woman on TV. Yeah. I love her so much.
Agree.
I don't think you can be kind of perfect.
She is.
Because perfect is either perfect.
She's closing in on perfect.
Okay, all right. All right.
I don't think she liked me either.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah, why is there a theme in Rob's life?
We had like I met her one day and I knew her from what's that movie where she has like lesbian sex with Piper Parabo?
Oh yes,
guys.
I don't
Google
know, but apparently
it.
I need to get that one on my Netflix queue too.
No, there's going to be millions of people googling it in about 5 minutes.
I'm doing it right now.
It's so hot. And she's so hot, and she was just like could not be more tired of me. It seemed like
really.
What?
Yeah. This is a theme.
Yeah, right.
This
like
is
her
a theme.
Malkovich.
Everybody in the business seems to just tolerate you.
Yeah, they seem to be like you know. Patient.
You seem like a likable guy,
right?
Yes.
What's the matter with me?
I don't know. We're not getting the truth here.
Yeah, I don't
there's
know.
Something else.
I get. There's probably deciding. Must be something else going on.
Do you try to act like a big boy when you go to those parties?
I'm a huge douche.
Yeah.
Rob, was it Lost in Translation? Was that the movie?
No.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Is it Lost in Delirious? Is that the name of the movie?
No.
Lost in Delirious?
No.
That's not it either.
I would no. Piper Parabo and what's her name?
Jessica Parra.
Yeah. Oh, remember, what was that? Bobby, Jack and Bobby, that show that was on for like a season?
Oh, I do
she
remember
was on
that, yeah.
Really good show. Yeah, she's...
I feel like this interview is going down some kind of a black hole.
I would like to talk about her for a long time.
We're not really on the air, are we?
Can I have another segment just to talk about Jessica Perret?
According to the internet, it is the 2001 indie lesbian film called Lost and Delirious. That is, in fact, the movie with Piper Perabo and Jessica Perret.
That's why she doesn't like you. Right, you don't remember her name.
I don't remember
name,
her lesbian
remember
movies.
Movie. We tell you, and you still don't think that's it.
Nope, that's not it. Nope.
Well, this entire interview was worthwhile just to find out about that movie. I'll tell you that. So. Yeah. All right, so recapping, Rob, in our final moments here.
Go ahead.
Warm Bodies in theaters now. Very funny. Everybody should go see it.
It's a good movie.
Good.
Spy may or may not feature you, may or may not make the air, may or may not be this summer or this fall.
Who knows?
And Children's Hospital continues its late night nomination on Adult Swim. So everything's right. pretty good for you except for not getting paid and not having any friends.
Yeah, if I had money, everything would be awesome. Okay.
You'd be willing to not have the friends if you could have the Hollywood money.
In a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our boy. Thanks, bro. I'm going to pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is awesome. Gonna talk some trash. I wish they would really stop it. I'm wanting, wishing they would shut up. This show's awful. Yo, turn up Carol Kill. Uh-huh. And what I hear is whack. What? Two goofy white boys just talking other smack. Yo. One's always slurring, sounding like an alky. People like, damn, those are two white honkies. One's like, I only write with a certain ink of color. I'll cut my right ball off if I could save a dollar. Mine wash a toss up, what the hell does that even mean? Why do you even listen to this show with Kevin and Dean? Hey. It sucks. Ha! It's not even worth 99 cents! Don't get caught in it, listen to it. I can't believe they're on FM, but please don't ever tune in, cause one's an Asperger's cabin. Fool! And the other one's saying, are you a Duck fan, long time him? So now you have all the proof you need, so please stop listening. I'm gonna talk some trash. I wish they would really stop it. I'm wanting, wishing they would shut up. This show's f***ing awful. Oh! The original version of this song sucks, yeah!
Remember that part?
No, I don't either. Is that the remix? What happened there? How did it end up making fun of us?
I don't know.
What are we doing? Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cousin Sal live from New Orleans coming up. But first, LaQuisha joins us on the phone. Hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Thrilled again? What? Thrilled again?
Let's just get on with it.
She's not happy with this.
LaQuisha, you Friday mornings review Buck Wild on MTV for us. You watch it so we don't have to. We love you. We love your reviews. We thank you. We're grateful to have you. Why are you always being so cranky toward us?
Because I am watching Buck stuffed with cash in it. And the other two idiots that are his friends that look at him saying, what's he doing with that?
What are you doing with that?
I'm gonna burn it.
Why?
Why? That's the reason I have money all the time. That's why y'all's broke.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah?
I like to spend money.
He buries his money in the backyard.
No, he doesn't.
That's how he saves his money.
But was he serious?
He had a post hole digger and a mason jar full of cash under his arm, and he's walking into the woods. Do you think he was serious?
Does he not trust banks or something?
I don't believe he knows there is such a thing as a bank.
He's never heard of it. Yeah.
And the other one says, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. And I think he's going to say, why don't you go to a bank? And he says, I spend money. that's the answer to the doing the dumb thing with the mason jar.
Actually, the smarter guy is the one who buries it.
Oh, dear Lord. And then they decide they're going to go camping. And I'm thinking, well, how possibly could it be different from your everyday life to go into the woods and crap behind a tree? Because that's what you do anyway from your own house. It's like they're camping all the time the way they live. But they think it's really fun.
We like to come camping down here because you can do whatever you want. You can raise all the hell you want to. Nobody calls the cops. You can fish, jump off the rocks. This is like God's amusement park.
Yes, God's amusement park. And you're the churro salesman. They can fish and jump off rocks.
That was quite a 1-2 punch.
No wonder it's so exciting for them.
You do that anywhere else, people will call the cops.
Now, Shane is trying to get with Kara, one of the girls. They're all sleeping with each other. It's a hard time keeping straight who's having sex with who.
Sure.
But I know Shane hasn't had sex with Kara, and he really wants to, so he gives her the hillbilly mating call.
Kara.
Why?
I done made you a pillow and got you a blanket and everything over here.
Shane, go to bed.
Come on.
Shane, go to bed. It's not happening.
Come on.
Shane, go to bed. It's not happening.
Come on.
No.
Come on. Come on.
Is that how you ask?
Come
that doesn't
on.
Work, LaQuisha.
It does with pigs. I have a pig come running. When you just, come out. Come out.
She doesn't sound like she was even wavering either.
No. He's a disgusting, drunk hillbilly who buries money in a mason jar.
Yeah.
Now, back at home, some of the girls didn't go camping. They had a party at the house. And Anna, the big Khloe Kardashian-sized one, she met a boy by the bonfire. And she knows that he cares for her because he jumped over the bonfire for her.
Wow.
And he, you know, he risked burning his testicles for her.
Really cute dude was here. I met him, Andrew. And I was like, okay, I'll kiss you if you jump over the fire. And he's like, all right. And, like, put my boots on and then, like, jumped over the fire. And then I kissed him.
So romantic.
That's so romantic.
She's making fun of her, right?
What? No.
What?
What is the mating ritual of the hillbilly that I don't understand? Come on. Come on. Come on. Jump over that fire. Now we're married. Jump the broom. And then we're going to make some moonshine and have sex with our cousins. What the hell is this?
I don't know, but I'm really glad I don't have to watch it.
Now, Katie and Tyler, they haven't had sex yet, but I think they're going to because Tyler already done have sex with Kara and several other of the girls. Katie's the only one I think he hasn't had sex with, so Katie says that she thinks now that they're officially an item.
I think Tyler and I are officially like a thing. I don't really know how I feel about that. Like, he's a really great guy. He's really nice. He's really cute. He looks good without a shirt on. But he's really stupid.
Yes. Yes, he is. But then
she wants everything.
They all are. You got no choice. If you're choosing from this selection of men,
right,
that's going to be a recurring problem in your love
life. It's a stupid
pool. Speaking of stupid, Shane, despite his amazing financial wizardry with burying money in a mason jar in the backyard, his parents are somewhat concerned about his future because he done lost his job bagging groceries down at Foodland. And that high-powered position is no longer his method of employment and his mother's concern.
Now that you quit Foodland, in like 4 or 5 years from now, where do you see yourself at?
I don't know. You know?
I know, you're just like your dad. You don't plan tomorrow, let alone 4 or 5 years from now.
I know.
Do you ever think about settling down and having a family?
Excellent idea, Mom.
Oh, no, that's not
what?
Where you should be pushing him,
no,
Mom.
Push your lazy, no-account son who lost his job bagging groceries, make him have sex with a woman, get her pregnant and married and start a family.
Why would she suggest that?
Because when the baby comes, he can go in the backyard and dig up all his mason jars and then they can afford one box of Pampers.
Look, I read a lot of stories about the economy these days, LaQuisha, and the best thing for unemployment is a baby.
I think he believes that he buried money that a money tree will grow.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that.
Probably does.
Now, maybe Kara doesn't want to have sex with Shane because she's not interested in what he's packing in his pants because her ex-girlfriend shows up to Sissonville, West Virginia last night. And everyone finds out that they dated for quite a long time. And Shane seems to be perplexed by the whole concept.
I believe that she's my soulmate. And no matter what,
like girl on girl, like love.
Yes, we've had sex.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm going to dig me up a mason jar.
That should not give him hope.
No, it shouldn't. And he thinks somehow that's going to translate into him getting two girls, I think. The truth is, it subtracts one away from him, not two.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Now, because Shane is concerned about his future, he decides he's going to start his own business. He's going to sell candy at the Sissonville Flea Market.
Okay.
Because his grandma, in his words, makes the best candy in all of Sissonville, West Virginia. And she makes peanut butter balls and coconut balls. That's the candy she specializes in.
All right.
And so, hilarious wordplay ensues when he puts up his sign at the flea market there saying, "You love our balls." See what he did there?
Oh, that's creative.
And every customer that dares come up to that table just gets an earful of balls.
Best balls in town. Thank you.
Have a good day, huh?
Good luck selling your ball.
Thank you.
They all said balls a lot. Everybody's eating balls, and they're buying balls, and they're selling balls. Balls, 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 balls.
There should be a song like that.
There should be a song like that. This show blows.
So we'll talk to you next week?
Season finale next week.
Oh! Yeah,
you know what that means?
Only one more?
2 weeks, you can kiss my black ass.
Cousin Sal spent last night during the 30 Rock finale hanging out with Tracy Morgan in New Orleans. There for the Super Bowl.
That's right. I got her pregnant.
So we'll find out all about that and see what Sal is betting on the game this weekend. That's on the way right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Actually, Tracy did get his girlfriend pregnant.
Is that right?
He's expecting. Yeah, they're expecting. Isn't that cute?
Well, he has been telling us for quite some time.
He's been saying he's going to get somebody pregnant. Mm-hmm.
Thank God that guy's going to be a father.
He's already got three grown kids, I think. So
not surprised.
He's got a new baby in the works, so that's good times. All right, Justin Bieber, stop lending your car to people. That Ferrari, the one that caused that photographer to get blowed up?
Yeah.
Back in the news, apparently this morning, Justin lent it to another talentless rapper, Lil Za. Lil Za, not confused with Lil Twist, who had the car before.
Sure.
Lil Za was behind the wheel in West Hollywood and was pulled over by the cops because the windows were too tinted. Around 1:30 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, that's why they pulled him over.
Yeah.
The windows were too tinted. That's what. Whatever you need to tell yourself, officer, in order to be able to sleep at night. It's 1:30 in the morning.
His skin was too tinted.
Pull over a brother in a Ferrari. Yeah, what's with those windows?
I thought they didn't pull you over for that. For just having your windows. That was like they could add it on if they pull you over, but they don't really pull you over for that.
It's West Hollywood. I don't know.
Okay.
They clashed with the paint job.
That's why they pulled him over. I have no idea. 1:30 a.m., they pull him over. And it turns out Lil Za doesn't have a driver's license. And here's the thing. They're really sticklers about driving with a license.
That's not just a suggestion.
No, they really kind of... It's more than a plea on their behalf that you learn how to drive and actually get a license to operate a motor vehicle before you start driving around in the streets.
Did he not have a license or a car? Is this his problem?
Good question.
Well, he had a car, Justin Bieber's car.
He borrowed a car.
He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have a license. So deputies put him in the back of the squad car. He seemed very upset because he kept flipping the bird to photographers and the police alike. So another day, another bad luck Ferrari trip for Bieber.
There's not a lot of good news coming out of the Justin Bieber camp these days. Uh-huh. Seems like every time you have a story, it's because he's in trouble for something.
It's like Bieber surrounded himself with douchebags.
Really? It
seems like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, birds of a feather.
Yeah, he's the king.
Randy Travis, also not a great track record with motor vehicles. He was sentenced yesterday in Texas for that DUI charge that, remember when they pulled him over and they found him lying naked next to his car in a construction zone after he crashed it? Yeah, that's awesome. Got sentenced to 180 days in jail. However, he won't have to go to jail right away because they did give him 2 years probation, meaning if he stays out of trouble for 2 years, he doesn't have to actually do any of that 180 days in jail.
Dean, you know that dude, or of him at least. Can he stay out of trouble for 2 years?
Not lately.
He hasn't been asked over the past 5 years, every 6 months or so.
If he quit drinking, he could.
Mm. Oh, Lisa, don't be crazy. What does Randy Travis have to live for if he stops drinking?
It's true.
He's got 100 hours of community service to do, 30 days mandatory alcohol treatment program, and he also has to have one of those ignition starters where you blow into it and it sees what your alcohol level is before you can start the car. So he's going to have to... It's going to be like Cirque du Soleil for him to start a car. He's going to have to do his service.
Change a lifestyle.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who had a much, much older wife slash manager who kind of kept him in line, kept him on the straight and narrow. And then either he started spiraling out of control once they broke up, or they broke up because he started drinking too heavily. But he appears to be rudderless at this point.
Hmm. Yeah. Ron Jeremy, the porn legend, is in bad shape. I told you yesterday he had two surgeries to repair that aneurysm they found near his heart. They said yesterday that he was resting comfortably after the surgery, although still in critical care. Now we find out that he has been heavily sedated and he is intubated. He's on a respirator. So the doctors have to wait and see what develops, and they'll wait 2 or 3 days before they take him off to see how he breathes on his own. But best case scenario, he's going to be in the hospital for about 3 weeks. And the worst case scenario, well, as you can imagine, everyone has Ron Jeremy in their thoughts because he's a good dude and we wish him well. He's young, too. He's only like 59, I think.
Yep.
He probably doesn't lead the best lifestyle. I'm just judging by the outward appearance of the man.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see that.
I think he's like a devotee of the beer mug lifestyle. I get that sense, which is just fat, hairy, and Jewish.
Yeah.
Name of Beer Mug's autobiography.
It's about right.
Hope you'll pick it up. Today, tomorrow night, Hollywood Babylon, me and Kevin Smith, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. People are asking what time. 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Come on out and see us. You can go to the Lovitz, JohnLovitzComedyClub.com website to get tickets or csmod.com. But we'd love to have you come out and join us.
I gotta give you guys credit for moving it around enough for people not to be able to find it.
Look, do you want to go to the club where the doors are wide open and it's easy to get into? Or do you want to get behind that velvet rope and earn it a little bit? You want to be one of the few who knows where the secret hangout is?
Right, but why is it a scavenger hunt to go out for the night?
Because the first rule of Babylon is you don't talk about Babylon.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. What information is... Man.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Harry Styles of One Direction, 19 years old. My man Harry's making Tadeusz Swindler cry. He's all right with me.
That's good.
Okay, in my book. Heather Morris is 26 from Glee. Ralphie May, the comedian, is 41. Michael C. Hall, he's dead.
I really need to kill somebody.
Yeah, I feel how you feel, Michael, every day. He's 42 years old. Sherilyn Fenn of Twin Peaks turns 48. Billy Mummy from Lost in Space is 59 years old. Exene Cervenka of the legendary band X. All right, X. She is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I don't think you could survive a weekend in New Orleans with Cousin Sal, Kevin. I don't think I could survive
on my own without anyone.
Yeah. He's making the most of it, though. Cousin Sal is in New Orleans, of course. Super Bowl weekend is happening. Last night, is it true you were hanging out doing your podcast with your friend Bill Simmons and Tracy Morgan?
Yeah, that's right.
How crazy is that guy in person, in real life?
Well, he really tones it down when he comes to a place like New Orleans. You know, he knows when to be appropriate. But yeah, in real life, he's nuts.
Sal is normally the lunatic in the room.
That's right.
So when he says that, it means something.
Speaking of lunatic in the room, I'm in my hotel room now, and I feel like a serial killer. I have 25 pages of proposition bets hanging on the walls, and I'm walking back and forth staring at them, seeing what I want to bet in this stupid game.
What kind of ridiculous bets are available for the Super Bowl?
I mean, you guys know. I mean, in addition to betting the game, you can bet the coin toss. You can bet who will have more touchdown passes, Flacco or Kaepernick. You can bet what color Gatorade it's going to be. Here's one I like. Will Alicia Keys get booed at any point during the anthem? 5-1 odds if she gets booed.
That's
and I'm going to the game. I feel like I can control this.
Wow.
I'll bring a megaphone and cash in on this.
You could start the booing. That's true.
Yes.
Wow. What's the ruling, Sal, on a bet like that? It has to be easily heard on television, or somebody just has to hear it in the stadium? I would imagine you'd have to be pretty specific if you were putting money down on something like that.
Yeah, it's hard to pin down, but the way I understand it, it has to be reported by a major news outlet. So, I don't know. I guess it takes a little more then.
Why would people boo her? I don't understand that.
Because they want to collect on 5-1 odds.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. I got it.
And the over-under seems to always be for the Super Bowl for the national anthem is 2 minutes and 15 seconds. That's a pretty standard bet, right, whether it's going to be above or below that. And there are literally people with a stopwatch on it to see how it comes out.
I mean, it's come down to the second before. And there are YouTube videos of, like, you could see how these people have done in the past. But Alicia Keys says she's going to make it her own. And usually when that happens, you're talking American Pie. But here, I mean, there are some weird ones. Like, I'm looking at it here. Which number will be more? Joe Flacco's completions or how many times Beyonce whips her hair around?
Oh, good.
That's very strange, right?
I like that.
Yeah, I like it.
There's one 75-1 odd that Ray Lewis forgets about God and gives all credit to his boys in One Direction.
I'm not thinking that's likely.
You don't like that? No. All right,
I don't think so.
even odds that the remaining members of Destiny's Child fight over the quarter after the coin toss. They're so poor. You know how poor they are.
Sure.
Here's one. After the game, 12-1 odd that the Harbaugh brothers forego the handshake and the winning Harbaugh gives the losing Harbaugh a wedgie.
I'd like to see.
That would be That'd awesome.
That's brotherly love. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Speaking of brotherly love, over under 1,250 times that LL Cool J licks his lips during an NCIS promo.
1,200 is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. But they show them a lot. 10-1 odds inspired by Beyonce, the referee is accused of lip-syncing the first penalty call. Hard to prove. 8-1 odds that a Budweiser Clydesdale gets a concussion during the fake football game.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. That's sad.
No, I don't want that either. Over under $75,000 Alex Smith spends on Colin Kaepernick voodoo dolls in the French Quarter.
Yeah, no kidding.
He wants in. Which will be longer on Sunday night? Alicia Keys' national anthem, or the total time we see Lena Dunham's bare breasts?
Ooh, that's tough.
Oh, that is a tough one.
We're rooting for Alicia there, right?
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. We sure are. Yeah.
Here's the last one. So, who will score a touchdown first? Manti Te'o's girlfriend or Junior Seau?
What are the odds on that one, Sal?
I don't know. That might be a wash. I don't know how
we do that. Sal, in all seriousness, the cousin Sal is how you follow him on Twitter. Of course, he writes for Grantland.com. You can see him with Jimmy Kimmel live weeknights at 11:35. Are these two teams that you are excited about being in the big game? Because I think this has the potential to be really outstanding football on Sunday.
You know what? It could be. I've gone back and forth with this because I think if they played 10 times, it would be 6-4 or 5-5. But I'm going on a limb here. I think we're due for a crappy Super Bowl. Do you guys remember when we were young? All the Super Bowls.
All of them.
Yes.
They were terrible. Anyone under 30 thinks, oh, this is always an amazing matchup.
Yeah, but no.
I think we're due, and I might surprise you this week. I know you're aware I predicted Baltimore would upset Denver, and then they would do the same in New England, and that happened.
Yep.
I like San Francisco here.
You
do? They're a younger, tougher version of the Ravens. I've been walking around. 70% of the fans at the Superdome are going to be backing them. San Francisco fans travel much better than Baltimore. The only thing I was worried about with the 49ers was their ability to play from behind, but I'm not worried. They were down 3 scores against Atlanta. They made it look easy in their comeback. I think there's like a lot of Ray Lewis hype out there, but those old guys, they're a little too slow for this pistol offense. And on the other side, the physical defense the Ravens have faced, it's going to be too much, I think. Lots of fumbles, lots of turnovers. This one's over before Beyonce takes a stage. Give the 3.5, 31-13. I like the Niners.
All right, let me just bring up one counterpoint to that, and that is, isn't Kaepernick due a bit giant failure because he's so young and inexperienced? I know he's been playing out of his mind, but don't you think there's going to come a time when it all falls apart?
There could be, but I'm not worried about it. Okay. I think that he needs to do so little to win these games, and he's so under control, and this is the day and age of the young quarterback emerging. And I don't know. I just feel a blowout here.
All right.
Well, fantastic. Well, great stuff, Sal. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll look forward to getting you back home to California, man. Have a great time, okay?
All right, fellas. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sal. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
What's happening? What's going on?
I just knocked over my Coke and it just went everywhere. So, all good. Everything's good.
Hey, Ralph. Kevin has an audio present for you.
Oh, great. Ready?
Yes.
Hi, it's Kat.
Oh, no, now she's doing it on purpose. Now she's doing an impression of me, doing an impression of her.
Ralph started doing his impression of Kat recently.
Hi, it's Kat.
Hi, it's Kat.
Now she's doing.
Hi, it's Kat.
Yes. I always wondered once an impression gets popular, like, I don't know, like Daryl Hammond is doing Bill Clinton. Does Bill Clinton hear that and then he starts doing Bill Clinton to kind of sound like the Daryl Hammond impression? I mean, I wonder if there is some sort of an echo chamber on impression sometimes.
He's going back and forth until eventually it's just sounds.
Well, I got to say, Kat has stepped up. She now sounds more like Kat than you do doing Kat because you had the upper hand, I thought, yesterday.
Hi, it's Kat.
Hi, it's Kat.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Pretty tight now.
Well, all right. To improve tan cat, that's why. She's tan cat.
She got a fake tan before she goes to an island for vacation.
She's golden bronze now. She's just, she looks mulatto, I would say.
She's going to think, I can't burn now.
She looks biracial.
Or she looks slightly visible, as Kevin said in his tweet.
Just barely.
Just, you know, now you can just see an outline of her. She used to be invisible. Now you can sort of make out a figure. It's like an apparition. She sort of shimmers in the distance, and you think, is that a person? I can't really tell.
She still looks like a ghost, but now she looks like a Mexican ghost.
Yeah.
So there's an improvement there. All right, time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the whole week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Kat, by the way.
Hi, it's Kat.
Kat, by the way, was at the Sound City event last night as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing she'll be in rare form. You may want to stay tuned for Kat's show, because I'm guessing she did it up.
And, yeah. And she doesn't have that thing that you have, Ralph, which is, oh, you look at the time, I have to get up in the morning, I better go home.
No.
She doesn't have that.
No, because Ralph has to get up like at 4:30. She gets up, she's thinking, oh, you know, how early is 10 a.m.? I can right. do that.
I mean, she stay can up all night. Loaded and play that thrift shop song by McCormick and Schmick, or whoever they are.
That's who they are.
She can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's a seafood restaurant, man. I might have just been mistaken. All right, let's talk about Chelsea Handler, shall we? That talentless...
You love her, first of all.
Crazy girl. Piers Morgan was on her show on Wednesday night, and they went at it. And I was very entertained, because I do not like her. And I'm not a big fan of Piers Morgan either, but...
You have to pick one to back.
I got
to
pick one. I'm on Team Piers.
I wonder why he went on her show if his intention was just to go after her.
He had been on once before to celebrate his first year on the air on CNN, taking over for Larry King. Apparently, this was his second year anniversary, so he went back on. And I don't know whether this was all big put on. Maybe it's a show. Maybe it's like WWE.
Trying to get people talking about it?
Wrestling, yeah, you know. It's like a fake feud or something. But I found it entertaining because the first thing he said there was that she looked good. And so he wondered if she had plastic surgery or a makeover or something.
That's a great line.
It really is. She responded with the reason she was dressed up. She didn't show any skin. It's because she didn't want him to undress her with his child molester eyes.
See, that almost sounds set up, because that's pretty good to think of on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not pretty good.
And Piers countered with, usually when he saw Chelsea, she was hung over in a really unprofessional way. And she ended up the segment by telling him to suck her A.
Mm.
Which is not an appetizing thought on any level.
No, no.
I know you hate her so much, Ralph, but
yeah.
did you ever see her sex tape when she was quite a bit younger?
I saw a still, I think, from it. Not
too bad. I think you could find something to enjoy it.
No.
Okay. That's saying something when you hate someone, an attractive woman so much you won't even like her sex tape.
Well, attractive is...
I'm saying this was a few years ago.
Yeah, but still.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my, I saw the picture and my eyes could smell it. That's all I could tell.
I understand.
Oh, yeah, it was just something that was repugnant about that. Katy Perry sees ghosts. Maybe she saw Kat.
She wouldn't have seen Kat.
Did the ghost say, "Hi, I'm Kat. I'm a ghost."
Hi, it's Kat.
Yeah. Katy Perry was filming a commercial at a home in Beverly Hills when she came screaming out of the master suite she was using as her dressing area. She claimed she looked into the mirror and saw a guy with a mustache staring back at her, who appeared to be in absolute agony. Perhaps he heard your latest record. See what I did there? I zinged her.
It wasn't much of a zing.
No, it wasn't. It's Friday. We're all going home.
Don't you keep that to yourself, if that's you? I mean...
If I see a ghost staring at me looking like it's in agony from the mirror? No. I'm first defecating myself.
Right.
And then I'm running out of the room screaming.
Both I can understand, but don't you... anticipate the reaction of people to be
all right. Well, apparently she came out and said, "Everybody, you got to see this." And they all rushed into the room. They looked in the mirror. Nothing.
Yeah. It was there. I'm telling you.
It was there. Look, I've seen this movie. Next thing you know, she ends up dead. They open up a closet and she's hanging there, blue tongue hanging out.
This wasn't a movie.
No. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
No one else saw the apparition, but she.
If she says there was an apparition, then I say there's an apparition.
I say, too. I wonder what state of undress she was in when the guy appeared in the mirror. Because I'm guessing it was a one-way mirror, and there was a PA on the other side of the wall who was looking through there. And that wasn't an agony face. That was an face. That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing he was a grip.
Then he pulled down the full mirror when everyone else came in.
He had a grip.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That would be funny.
This bothers me.
What?
George Clooney and Stacey Keibler, they're saying it's the demise of their relationship.
Hmm.
Why does this bother you?
Because I like those kids together. They seemed like a good match.
But you know, if he's going to date younger women like that, they eventually are women who will want to get married and have kids, and he has no interest in any of that.
That is his M.O.
So.
Damn, the women with the things and the kids.
And the stuff. I know. They're just the worst.
She has raccoon dog. Isn't that enough for her? What more does she need?
Are you menstruating right now?
She needs Kloon pups, too.
Nothing to do with it.
She got the Kloon dog. Now she wants the Kloon pups.
She wants pups. They don't have to be his pups.
No pups for you, Stacey Keebler. Go back to your tree and make your cookies. That's where they make the cookies.
May I suggest file?
Yes,
I don't
please.
Often say that, but that deserves it.
Yep.
Johnny Depp and Amber Heard reportedly also splitting up. That's another perfect match. Two beautiful people who belong together. What's wrong? Why don't they just let me make the matches in Hollywood?
You just want to run everything.
I do. I want to run everything. And last night, I was lucky enough to see the Sound City documentary directed by our good friend, Mr. David Eric Grohl. Cannot recommend it highly enough, but there's another documentary in the news today. James Franco has announced he will produce a documentary on the fashion house of Gucci. Oh, finally, I get to see the in-depth workings of the Guccis. Finally, I can learn everything I needed. Oh, I have so many questions about Gucci.
Do you?
I always said, hey, what's up with Gucci? I remember saying that once. Now I'll have all my answers.
Maybe you'll have more answers than you asked for.
Franco's all about the documentary. He's done three so far.
Really?
He did a documentary in 2010 on Saturday Night Live. Did you know that?
No.
Saturday Night Live? I didn't know that either.
I saw the documentary where he cut off his arm.
That's not a documentary. That was a fictional film. He did. Had another documentary premiere at Sundance this year called Interior Leather Bar about rough gay bars, leather bars for gay men.
Okay.
He doesn't do a lot of stuff.
One last question. Without giving the twist away, what can fans expect? And just give it to me in 10 words or less.
10 words or less? Ball gags. I think that's what they can expect from Interior Leather Bar. So you can check that out. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Garrett Morris. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, he was the first African-American to ever be on the cast of Saturday Night Live. Very funny guy back in the day. Now he's on Two Broke Girls. Oh, Garrett. He used to do a very funny bit where they would do news for the hearing impaired when Chevy Chase would do the weekend update at the New Entry Desk and say, and now here's Garrett Morris with the translation for the hearing impaired. And Chevy Chase would say, tonight's big story. And he'd go, tonight's big story. It's making me laugh. Garrett Morris is 76 years old. Don Everly of the legendary Everly Brothers singing duo is 76. Bean, you would know. Is Phil still alive or is it just Don now?
They're both still alive.
Son of a gun. Billy Mummy from Lost in Space and Twilight Zone, he's 59 years old. Exene Cervenka of the legendary L.A. band X, 57 years old. Sherilyn Fenn, the lovely and talented from Twin Peaks and Boston Public, she's 48. Is Sherilyn Fenn the actress Bean made move with the candy bar?
Yes, I did not.
Yes, sir.
She got scared of
him. He had our intern Tad deliver a candy bar to her front door.
What was the candy bar, Bean?
I don't recall.
It was a whatchamacallit.
The story has been so convoluted.
It's a Nutty Buddy.
A Nutty Buddy?
No, I think it was a Caramel Creepy, I think.
A treat was delivered.
It was the Creep Bar.
She consequently moved, but they were completely unrelated items.
Of course they were.
No.
Why would she move simply because a stranger started delivering candy bars to her doorstep? Why would that freak out a beautiful actress enough to move?
Unrelated. Didn't happen.
Poor thing.
I remember that time Bean delivered a knife to Teresa Saldana. I remember that that story as well.
I don't remember that story so much.
Google her name. You'll laugh. You'll understand what that joke means, and you'll think it's very funny. Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of the king, is 45 years old, as is Pauly Shore, who at one point
had a career.
Would star in movies.
Yeah.
They would make movies for him to star in.
Yeah. That happened.
Strange times. Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 44 years old. Michael C. Hall of Dexter is 42 years old. Very funny comedian Ralphie May is 41. Big Boy of Outkast turns 38 today. Lauren Conrad from The Hills, she's 27. Heather Morris, she plays Brittany on Glee. She's 26 years old. And Harry Styles of the musical juggernaut that is One Direction. He is 19 years old today. Cannot wait a couple years from now when I'm saying he's 23. And we're talking about him working at a Lazy Boy company. Stuffing easy chairs. It's going to be good times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have Bianca Kailik from Rules of Engagement, and we have the lovely Sarah Shahi in the studio as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's a full review of the... Do we have to call it the Schmooper Schmoll now?
We do.
Big game. The big game.
The big game.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Thank you.
My name is Bud Bunnuchek.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, what's up?
Roll another one.
I'm not even angry, but I'm disappointed.
Just like the other one.
First off, I want to say you're
this
very good at your craft work.
And I need another hit. Roll another one.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Just like the other one.
Well, that sounds bad when you say it like that.
This one seems to be about sense.
Just crazy.
I don't have another sense.
I hope this doesn't bother you, but I've been imagining what you look like naked.
Are you scared of poo-poo?
Just pass it around.
I loved McHale's Navy.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Yeah, what's up?
I just pass it on down.
I mean, that had it all. That had danger. It had puke. That's what this show's all about.
I want to say three cheers for what we did. We accomplished a lot today, so it's going to be a hip hip, and I want to hooray.
Yeah.
Okay. Three cheers. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
I'm going to give you a new title. I think you're going to like it. It's called Canned. You're fired. You are canned. It's a can full of and you're in it.
Sir, if you say one more syllable, that's a haiku.
Leave.